إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد Then to continue with Al-Aqidah Tahawiyyah, the creed compiled by Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, with the explanation of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah. Then last week we had the points 206, 207, 208, and 209 with regard to some of the signs of the hour. And with regard to the questions, who can remember the meaning of ashrat? Ashrat.
It's the plural of signs.
Yeah.
Signs for the day of
judgment. Okay. Now, the plural of sharat. The plural of sharat, which means a sign. Who can remember how many categories of the signs of the coming of the hour Sheikh al-Fawzan mentioned? How many categories and what are those categories? The different categories of the signs of the hour. Yeah. Sheikh al-Fawzan mentioned three categories of the signs of the hour. The first is the lesser signs of the hour, the minor signs of the hour. What did Sheikh al-Fawzan say with regard to those? Yeah, they said they've already passed. They've already happened, already passed. Then he said the intermediate signs, such as... mentioned increase in the progress of technology and the like, the fact that cities growing closer together to the extent that the whole world becomes like a single city because of the closeness of the cities. And he mentioned and the gathering of the Jews in Palestine awaiting their Messiah, Ad-Dajjal, and so on. Then he mentioned the third category, the major signs. Who can remember some of the major signs of the hour? Yeah. The sun rising from the west. Yeah, the beast of the earth. Dajjal.
The descent of Isa.
Yeah. The descending of Isa, alayhi salam. Yeah. And Ya'juj wa Ma'juj. Who or what is Dajjal? Is the Dajjal? Who or what is he? Yeah, a Jew. Person, beast, television, or? A person, yeah. Contrary to what the deviants say, the fools say. And a person, as is clear from the Ahadith, a person from the Jews. Who can remember something from his description, from the authentic Sunnah, something from the description of the Dajjal? Yeah. Yeah. The Dajjal will be one-eyed. He'll have one eye wiped away. It will not be there. And the second eye will be like a floating grape. And something that we didn't mention, but it's authentic, that the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, mentioned, he'll have between his eyes, kaf, ra, kaf, fa, ra, meaning kafir, unbeliever. And that will be clear for every believer to see, every believer to see. Contrary to the television set. Then, who can remember that he's mentioned as Al-Masih al-Dajjal? Who can remember this title, Al-Masih? What did the Sheikh mention that it means with regard to the Dajjal? That's the from the title Ad-Dajjal, from Ad-Dajjal, meaning falsehood and lying and his great number of falsehood. But the title Al-Masih. And they differ about, or they mention different sayings with regard to this title of the Dajjal, Al-Masih. Because the word can have different meanings in the language. So Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentioned one of the meanings which applies to the Dajjal is his eye being wiped, from masaha to wipe. I mean, his eye is wiped away, it's not there. And the second meaning is masaha, meaning to travel very quickly over the land. Because, as is authentic in the narrations, that he will indeed, he will do that. He will travel over the whole earth in a very short space of time. And enter all the cities, except for Mecca and Medina, and Jerusalem and Thorisini. Who can remember some of his false miracles that he will come with, and which will be a trial for the people, a great trial for the people? That he'll command the sky to rain. And it will rain. Make the dead come to life. The hadith of the believer who will stand up to the Dajjal, and the Dajjal will ask him, "Do you believe in me?" He will say, "No." So he will kill him, and then bring him back to life, and say. And then the believer will reply, "I am even more certain in you now." Likewise, that he will come with a fire and with a paradise. What did the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam command us to do with regard to the Dajjal? There's something that we didn't have in the lesson, but something that. And during the lessons of Sheikh Falah, Hafidhullah, then he mentioned the authentic narration, or other than Sheikh Falah, it was mentioned in one of the lessons of the Sheikhs, in this authentic hadith, that he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, keep away from him. Keep away from him. Likewise, Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentioned in the explanation, mentioned something else that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us with regard to the Dajjal, something else we need to do. MashaAllah. It wasn't in the lesson, but another point as well. Jazakallah khair. Memorizing the first 10 ayahs of Surah Al-Kahf, the 18th surah. That's definitely authentic from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam as well. So there still remains something.
In the tashahhud to seek refuge from him.
In the final tashahhud of the prayer, to seek refuge from four things. And included amongst them, the hadith in Sahih Muslim, we're seeking refuge from the Dajjal. That in the final tashahhud of our prayer, we're commanded to seek refuge from those four things, and from them being the Dajjal, which is why some of the people of knowledge, they say that's an obligation. And amongst them, Shaykh al-Albani in these later days, Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, and some of the Salaf as well, they say it's an obligation in the prayer to make that dua at the end. Before the salam, you seek refuge from those four things, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam commanded it. How will the Dajjal die? I had a point about the death of the Dajjal. How? How will he kill him? He dissolves, he starts to, as the brother mentioned, that when Isa alayhi salam descends, then he'll approach the Dajjal, and as Isa alayhi salam approaches the Dajjal, Dajjal will start to dissolve like salt dissolves. And then the actual killing of him, Isa alayhi salam will kill him with a spear. Then, who or what are Ya'juj and Ma'juj? This is another point we had. Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Who or what are they? The two tribes of people from the descendants of Adam, alayhi salam. A group, either one group or two groups of people who are together, descended from Adam. They're people. Why is it that we don't see them at present? Why don't we see them at present? Because of the wall that was built by the Dhul-Qarnayn, which blocked them in. Because of their corruption, the people complained to Dhul-Qarnayn. So he built a huge barrier, a strong barrier, rahmakallah, with bricks of iron and molten brass and the like to cement it, and then blocked them in. So they're blocked away. Iron and lead. Wallah, the narration doesn't mention lead. Wallahu alam. The brother says lead. Wallahu alam. Could be lead. Yeah. Jazakallah khairan. So I'll take that as a correction. Instead of lead, instead of brass, lead then. Wallahu alam. With regard to the word al-Masih, what does the word al-Masih mean with regard to Isa alayhi salam?
That he wipes, because that's the manner in how he kills the people.
Yeah. With regard to Isa alayhi salam, then the meaning of al-Masih, as Shaykh Fawzan mentioned, al-Masih is again from masaha, to wipe. And with regard to Isa alayhi salam, Shaykh Fawzan mentioned, it means that because he used to wipe his hand upon a sick person, and Allah, by Allah's permission, that sick person would be cured. So the term al-Masih, with regard to Isa alayhi salam, that's what it means. That he would wipe his hand upon a sick person, and that sick person would be cured. Where and in what condition is Isa alayhi salam at present? Where is he? And in what condition is he at present? In the heavens, alive or not alive, or... Yeah, alive, no doubt. No, alive. Isa alayhi salam is alive. He has not died yet. He's alive in the heavens. Who can mention some of the things that Isa alayhi salam will do when he descends, when he comes back? What are some of the things mentioned that he will do? Shaykh al-Fawzan. Kill the pigs, break the cross, stop the jizya, because the people will enter into Islam, the people of the book will believe in him at that time, the jizya will be stopped. Judge by what? Yeah, judge by Islamic law, Sharia, no doubt. And what will happen to Isa alayhi salam eventually upon the earth? Yeah, and eventually you die, alayhi salam. The Shaykh just mentioned, it's obviously Aqidah Tahawiyah, so he just mentioned brief, you know, he doesn't go into great detail. He doesn't mention that very much. Who can remember the great event that will be a sign with regard to the sun, from the signs of the hour, something with regard to the sun? Who can remember? What will be a sign with regard to the sun? No, it will come from its place of setting, from the west. It will rise from the west. And what will this mean for the people? On the day when the sun rises from the west, what will it mean for the people?
Tawbah, and nobody can enter Islam.
Yeah. Repentance will not be accepted, and people entering into Islam, their Islam will not be accepted. Where will the beast of the earth emerge from? Dabbatul Ard, the beast of the earth, where will he emerge from?
Hey.
The answer is, as Sheikh al-Fawzan mentioned, and we had some sayings from earlier scholars like al-Qurtubi in his book al-Mufhim, there's nothing authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we do not know where Dabatul Ard will come from. So which is why we say he will come. Obviously there are narrations, but they're not authentic. There are narrations. It's a famous saying that he will come from, he will arise somewhere far in the desert, then he'll arise somewhere a second time closer, and then a third time he'll arise from in Mecca or from the Mount of Safa. But these reports are not authentic. We can't place any reliance upon them. They're not authentic narrations, as people of knowledge have pointed out. So therefore we say Allah knows best where he'll come from. He'll come out from the earth. Allah knows best where he'll come from. And what will the beast of the earth, what will it do? What will it do after emerging?
Distinguish the believer from the non-believer.
Yeah. It will mark the believer from the unbeliever. There's narrations, yeah, but they're not authentic. They're not authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so we can't say. Allahu Akbar. As we mentioned in the lesson, some of the people of knowledge point out, there are many different narrations. Al-Qurtubi in his explanation of Muslim, Al-Mufhim, he said there's a great deal of difference with regard to the characteristics of the Dabatul Arab, the beast of the earth, what he will be like. The people differ, and they've given different descriptions. He'll have the body of such and such, and the wings of such and such, and nothing authentic about that, and what he will be like. It's not, and where he's coming out from, it's not nothing authentic. Then with regard to the next point, then At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, continues, وَلَا نُصَدِّقُ كَاهِنًا وَلَا عَرَّافًا. And we do not accept as true the saying of a fortune teller or a diviner. And we do not accept as true the saying of a kahin, a soothsayer, or a fortune teller, or a diviner. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said in his explanation, the author has already mentioned al-karamat. He's already mentioned al-karamat, the miracles. And their regulating principle. Meaning he's already, in the chapter before the last one, he's already defined what is a mu'jiza, a miracle which Allah gives to a prophet, a karama, which is something that Allah causes to happen at the hand of a righteous person. Allah causes it to happen. And then tricks of the devils. So the Shaykh said, so the author has already mentioned al-karamat, miracles, and their regulating principle. And that al-karamat, miracles, are true and established. But it is not permissible to place dependence upon them. And it should not be thought that the awliya, the beloved servants of Allah, have a position in which they can be called upon along with Allah, the mighty and majestic. That should not be thought. No one should think that. That the awliya, the beloved servants of Allah, beloved and chosen servants of Allah, they produce miracles, so therefore they've got a position, which means that we can call upon them, make dua to them, along with Allah, the mighty and majestic. That should not be thought. As is said by the grave worshippers and the people of false superstitions. Those who devote themselves and cling to the awliya, and the salihin, and the righteous people. From those who are people who perform these miracles. And as for his saying, rahimahullah, لَا نُصَدِّقُ كَاهِنًا وَلَا عَرَّافًا, and we do not accept as true the saying of a fortune teller or a diviner. He said, then this contains an explanation of the difference between a karama, a miracle, and al-kahana, fortune telling and divining and a sihr, sorcery, and a sha'wadha, magic tricks, and a tanjeem, astrology. I mean, this point makes a distinction between all of that. Those things which are true miracles, karama, and those things which are not, which fall under one of those categories. Fortune-telling, divining, sorcery, magic tricks, and astrology. So these things, those things which occur with the kuhan, with the fortune-tellers or soothsayers, those things which occur with fortune-tellers and the arrafin and the diviners, those things that happen, those supernatural things that happen with them, are events which emanate from devils and are just actions which they become proficient upon and learn by means of their devoting themselves and drawing close to the devils, the shayateen. I mean, the tricks and things that soothsayers can perform, fortune tellers, diviners, the things that the supernatural things that they seem to be able to do, they are just things they've learnt because of devoting themselves to the shayateen, to the devils. And so then the people think, and the ignorant people think, that what they do is miracles, karamat. And that they are done because of their being awliya of Allah, beloved servants of Allah. I mean, the people think that what these people, these soothsayers can do, the apparent miracles they can do, people think it's because they are beloved servants of Allah. And this is a mistake. Rather, they are just from the deeds of devils. Because those people submit to them, these soothsayers and diviners, because of their submission to the devils, and because of their agreeing with them upon shirk. So the sahara, the sorcerers, people of sorcery, are not able to perform sihr, sorcery or magic. They're not able to perform it except through their humbly submitting to the devils. So sihr, sorcery, is from the actions of Satan. And it is disbelief in Allah. It is kufr in Allah. Sihr is disbelief in Allah. As a side point, as we've heard in a number of talks from the sheikhs, an evidence for that is the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah. وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ. The ayah with the explanation. And Sulaiman was not an unbeliever. Rather, it was the devils who disbelieved, teaching the people sihr, teaching the people sorcery, magic. So the ayah is used by the scholars as proof that sihr, as Shaykh Fawzan said here, sihr is kufr, unbelief. So the Shaykh said, and it is kufr, unbelief, disbelief in Allah. So do not be fooled by them. For they say, this is a karama, this is a miracle. I mean, these people are sorcery who do supernatural looking things. That they say, this is a karama, this is a miracle granted to a righteous person. Or these are spiritual entertainments, or spiritual gymnastics. And they present themselves at celebrations and gatherings, and they are left to perform sihr, sorcery, in front of the people. And they say these are spiritual exercises to misguide the people and to eat up the wealth of the people with their sihr, with their sorcery. So it is obligatory to draw attention to these people and to hate them and to have enmity towards them, because they are enemies of Allah and His Messenger. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan makes an important distinction and says, and as-sihr, sorcery or magic, is of two categories. The first category is sihr haqiqi, real sorcery or magic, real and true sorcery or magic. And it is something which produces an effect upon the body of the person upon whom the magic is done. So it causes him to become ill, or it produces an effect upon his mind, or can kill him. So this is from the action of the devils, the shayateen. It's the first category of sihr, sorcery, that which can produce an effect. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions the second category. He said the second category is sihr takhayyuli, magic involving illusions. I mean, that which is not real, it involves illusions, tricks of the eye and the like. So the second category of magic is magic involving illusions. Allah the Most High said, يُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنَّهَا تَسْعَى. Surah Taha, the 20th Surah, Ayah 66. In the context of Musa alayhi salam, when he went to call Fir'aun, and the sorcerers came, and they threw their ropes and they threw their sticks, and made it look as if they were snakes, with the explanation, it was made to appear to him that their sticks and ropes became moving snakes. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and this is what is called illusions. So they do things which appear a certain way to the eyes of the people, which are in reality, or which are not an actual reality. I mean, tricks and illusions. They do things in front of the people that seem to be certain things, but they are not real things. So such a person makes it appear that he strikes himself with a sword, and that he eats nails, or fire, or glass, or enters into a fire, or that he has a car drive over him, or that he sleeps upon nails, or pulls a car along with his hair, or that he brings some plain papers and makes them appear to change into banknotes. And then, when this magic ceases, the papers return to their original form. In other words, Shaykh al-Fawzan just gave a list of this type of illusionary magic. Just, he said, just as occurs from those people who are the nashaleen, literally pickpockets, or people who are quick with their fingers, and from the actions of the magicians also, is that one of them comes with a dung beetle, the well-known insect, the well-known beetle rather. And he makes it appear through his magic in front of the people that it is a sheep. And likewise they make it appear to the people that they are walking on a very fine thread. And this is called, the Sheikh gives a couple of names which they call it by, something like very, very thin tightrope walking or something. Then he said, So all of this is falsehood and trickery of the people. Tricking the eyes of the people. And it is sihr takhayyuli. It is the magic of illusions. When this magic ceases, then the affairs return as they were before, to their usual manner. So it is obligatory upon us that we do not be fooled by these people, and do not believe in them, and that we do not let them get access to our children and our countries in order to promote their magic. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan moves on to another category of people, the Kuhan, the fortune tellers. So he said, as for the Kahin, the fortune teller, or the soothsayer, then he is the person who claims ilm al-ghayb, the person who claims to have knowledge of the hidden and the unseen. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that the devils attempt to listen into commands of the heavens, and they can manage to hear certain sayings. So they take these sayings that they hear and they pass them on to the kahin, to the fortune teller. I mean, as it occurs in the authentic narration in Al-Bukhari, a long narration, it mentions that the devils, they climb on the backs of each other. They climb on each other's backs until they can get to a height that they can hear commands from the heavens. They hear things. They can just get to hear certain things before they're struck and they can't hear anymore. So the Shaykh said, so they manage to take a saying and they inform the fortune teller of this saying. And then he lies along with it 100 lies. And the people believe him upon everything which he says because of that one saying. And if you want to refer back to the hadith, then the hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari as hadith 4701. It's from a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, and he, the one free of all imperfections, said, هَلْ أُنَبِّئُكُمْ عَلَى مَنْ تَنَزَّلُ الشَّيَاطِينَ تَنَزَّلُ عَلَى كُلِّ أَفَّاكٍ أَثِيمٍ يُلْقُونَ السَّمْعَ وَأَكْثَرُهُمْ كَاذِبُونَ Surah Al-Shu'ara, the 26th surah, ayahs 221-223. With the explanation, shall I not inform you upon whom the devils descend? They descend upon each great liar in speech, wicked in actions. And the devils cast what they have heard upon them, upon these liars. And most of them, most of the soothsayers, are indeed liars. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and this is how the soothsayers, how they get their information. That the devils pass on a word to them. And then on top of that word, as occurs in the narration of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, on top of that one piece of truth, they add 100 lies. And then the people believe everything they say because of that one word of truth. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and the kuhana, fortune-telling, or soothsaying, it used to exist in the days of ignorance. Or the fortune tellers were very many in the days of ignorance. So in every tribe, there used to be a kahin. In every single tribe, there used to be a kahin, soothsayer, fortune teller. And the people used to refer back to him for judgment and ask him about unseen matters. And then when Islam came, it abolished fortune-telling, soothsaying. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prevented the people from going to the soothsayers. He alayhi salatu wasalam said, Man ata kahinan لَمْ تُقْبَلْ مِنْهُ صَلَاةٌ أَرْبَعِينَ يَوْمًا. Whoever goes to a fortune teller, then prayer will not be accepted from him for 40 days. In a footnote they mentioned this hadith is reported by Muslim. And you'll find it in Muslim from a narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. With the wording, مَنْ أَتَى عَرَّافًا لَمْ تُقْبَلْ لَهُ صَلَاةٌ أَرْبَعِينَ لَيْلَةٌ. That whoever goes to a diviner, then prayer will not be accepted from him for 40 nights. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and this hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. And he mentions a second narration. He said, and there occurs in the Sunan, the hadith, the saying of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ أَتَى كَاهِنًا أَوْ أَرْرَافًا فَصَدَّقَهُ بِمَا يَقُولُ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ. They mentioned in a footnote, this hadith is reported by Ahmad and Al-Hakim, who declared the hadith to be sahih, authentic to the standard of Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And this hadith is a hadith of Abu Hurairah, again, a hadith of Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu, declared sahih by Shaykh al-Albani in his checking on his notes to Sharh al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah. And you'll find it with the wording, Man ata arrafan aw kahinan, whoever goes to a diviner or a fortune teller and believes him in what he says, then he has disbelieved in what was sent down upon Muhammad. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and likewise when he was asked about the Kuhan, when he was asked about the fortune tellers, he said, Laysu bi shay, they are nothing. You find this narration reported by al-Bukhari as hadith 6213. And reported by Muslim from a hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. He said, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, La ta'tuhum, do not go to them. Do not go to them. And this hadith is reported by Muslim with the wording in the singular, Fala ta'tihim, do not go to them. Meaning the soothsayers. And it's from a hadith, it's the famous hadith, it's a part of the famous hadith of a slave girl. Hadith Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulami, radiallahu an. The long hadith with many points of benefit, the famous hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the slave girl brought before him and said, asked her to check if she's a believer. He said, Ain Allah, where is Allah? So she said, Fis sama, above the heavens. He said, Who am I? She said, You are the Messenger of Allah. So he said, Free her because she's a mu'mina. Free her because she's a believer. So this is a part of that hadith. It was mentioned about in the same hadith that there are some people who are fortune tellers. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَلَا تَأْتِهِمْ, then do not go to them. In the wording of Imam Ahmad, just as Shaykh al-Fawzan's put here, لَا تَأْتُوهُمْ, do not go to them. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, So the kahin, so the fortune teller, or soothsayer, he defines who he is. He said, هُوَ الَّذِي يَدَّعِي عِلْمَ الْغَيْبِ بِسَبَبِ تَعَامُلِهِ مَعَ الشَّيْطَانِ. This is the definition of the kahin, soothsayer, fortune teller. He is the person who claims to have knowledge of the hidden and the unseen by means of his working with the devils. He claims to have knowledge of the hidden and unseen. How does he get that? He may not admit it, but how does he get that? By working with the devils. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan makes the distinction and says, as for the arraf, the diviner, then he defines him. فَهُوَ الَّذِي يَدَّعِي عِلْمَ الْغَيْبِ لَكِنْ لَيْسَ بِوَاسِطَةِ الشَّيَاطِينِ وَإِنَّمَا بِالْحَدَسِ وَالتَّخْمِينِ. As for the diviner, then he claims to have knowledge of the hidden and unseen. However, not by means of the devils, but rather by intuition and guesswork, so that he will say, it's possible that such and such will happen, built upon his false predictions or prophecies. So that's the difference between the kahin and the arraf. The thing that they both possess is that both of them claim the same thing. They both claim to have knowledge of ilmul ghayb, knowledge of the hidden and the unseen. Both of them claim that. But the difference between them is how that comes to them. So the kahin, he uses devils to inform him. And the arraf, then guesswork, intuition, is different ways that he tries and arrive at some prediction of what's going to happen. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and some of the people of knowledge say that the arraf, the diviner, is the kahin. They're the same thing. Because both of them inform about hidden and unseen affairs. However, by using different means. I mean, some of the scholars say the same. The term applies to both of them. The term kahin, it applies to both of them. It's just that they're different in their means, and that, but the term can apply to both. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so it is obligatory upon the Muslim that he should disbelieve in and he should reject fortune-telling and divining, and that he should not believe its people. That's what's obligatory. For they are not from the awliya of Allah. They are not from the allies and beloved servants of Allah. Rather, they are awliya of shaytan. They are allies and beloved ones of Satan. And whoever wishes to further research this matter, then let him refer back to the book Al-Furqan of Shaykh al-Islam, meaning Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. I mean the book Al-Furqan Bayn Awliya al-Rahman wa Awliya al-Shaytan. The distinction between the allies and beloved servants of Allah and the allies of Satan. Then he moves on and says, as for At-Tanjim, astrology, then Al-Munajjim, the astrologer, he defines him. He said, he, the astrologer, is the person who informs about future events by means of observation or by means of reflection upon or referring back to the stars. They say, when such and such star rises, then so and so will happen. And when a certain star sets, that such and such will happen. And when such and such constellation, or rather that such and such constellation, brings unhappiness, or brings good fortune, this is how they ascribe things, this is how they ascribe actions, falsely. I mean, they ascribe these actions to these things, I mean to stars and constellations and the setting of stars and so on. This is how they ascribe those actions falsely. So astrology is, and then he defines it briefly, at Tanjim, astrology is هو نسبة الحوادث الأرضية إلى الأحوال الفلكية. Astrology is ascribing events upon the earth to changing conditions of the stars and planets. And this was the definition given by Shaykh al-Islam. By that, of course, he refers to Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. You can refer to Fath al-Majid, and likewise Shaykh al-Islam's book, the book of compilation of the verdicts of the Shaykh, Majmu' al-Fatawa, volume 35, page 192. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so astrology is from the affairs of the times of ignorance. He, alayhi salatu wassalam, said, أربع في أمتي من أمور الجاهلية لا يتركونهن الطعن في الأنساب والفخر بالأحساب والنياحة على الميت والاستسقاء بالنجوم. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, there are four things in my ummah which are from the affairs of the days of ignorance. The people will not leave them. And with regard to this phrase, لا يتركون, then Al-Qurtubi said in his explanation, Al-Mufhim, he said meaning, oh, generally, not that everybody, nobody will leave them, generally people don't leave them. So there are four things in my ummah from the affairs of the days of ignorance. They will not leave them. Attacking people's lineage and boasting of being of noble descent. And niyaha, wailing over the dead. And seeking rain from the stars. In a footnote they mention, this is reported by Muslim. And it's from a hadith of Abu Malik al-Ashja'i radiallahu anhu. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, referring to the last one, meaning seeking rain from the stars, he said, meaning seeking rain from the stars. He, the Perfect and Most High, said, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ وَإِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عَظِيمٌ إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونَ لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَهَّرُونَ تَنْزِيلٌ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ أَفَبِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَنْتُمْ مُدْهِنُونَ وَتَجْعَلُونَ رِزْقَكُمْ أَنَّكُمْ تُكَذِّبُونَ. Surah Al-Waqi'ah, the 56th surah, ayah 75 to 82, with the explanation, and as we mentioned now and again, usually the explanation is just taken from the tafsir of Tabari. So with the explanation, so I swear by the places of the setting of the stars. And it is a great oath, if only you knew. It is, or that this Qur'an is indeed an honorable Qur'an in a guarded book, in the preserved tablet, Allahul Mahfuz, which is not touched except by those kept pure by Allah, those kept pure by Allah from sins. Rahmakallah. And Mujahid said, meaning the angels. Mujahid said, the famous Tabi'i said, Mujahid said, meaning the angels don't touch that. Meaning that only the angels can touch that book. This Qur'an is a revelation sent down from the Lord of the whole of the creation. Is it regarding this speech that you wish to speak mildly with and accommodate those who deny and disbelieve in it? That was the tafsir of Mujahid and Ibn Jurayr al-Tabari. Is it regarding this speech that you wish to speak mildly with and accommodate those who deny and disbelieve in it? And the thanks you should give to Allah for your provision is instead denial and ascribing your provision to others besides him. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning that you ascribe the provision which comes to you to the stars or to events which occur with the stars and planets. So this is from the belief of the days of ignorance. So the stars are just a creation from the creation of Allah and are subject to him. Musakhara, they are subject to him, under his control. And Allah created them for three wise purposes. I mean, Allah the Most High created the stars for three wise purposes. The first is to make them an adornment for the sky. Secondly, that they are missiles to strike the devils. And thirdly, that they are signposts. The stars are signposts by which people can find the way. In darkness, upon the land and the sea. So whoever believes that they are for another purpose besides this, then he has lost his share of good. And as for the narration that the stars are for three purposes, then this is mentioned by Al-Bukhari without a connected chain of narration in his Sahih as a saying of the famous Tabi'i Qatada. That he made this statement, the stars are for three purposes, and he mentioned these three reasons. And Abd ibn Humayd reported it with a connected chain of narration. As Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar mentions in Fath al-Bari. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so if you carefully reflect upon the Qur'an, you will find that Allah mentioned three benefits for the stars. If you go through the Qur'an, wherever it's mentioned of the stars, and you reflect, then you'll find that the stars have three points of benefit, which Allah has mentioned. As for events which occur upon the earth, then the stars have no effect upon that at all. And the astrologers merely deceive and lie to the people. And they say these events occur because of the stars. Whereas Allah, the one free of all imperfections, said, وَالنُّجُومُ مُسَخَّرَاتٌ بِأَمْرِهِ Surah An-Nahl, the 16th surah, ayah 12, with the explanation, and the stars are subject to Allah's command. The stars are subject to Allah's command. The Shaykh said, so these affairs destroy aqidah. I mean, believing that these stars have an effect upon what happens upon the earth. These affairs destroy aqidah, destroy correct belief and creed. And they nullify the person's iman if he believes that the stars have done the thing which occurs in the creation. If something happens upon the earth, if the person thinks, yes, the star has had an effect and made that happen, then he's nullified his iman. Then as for the next small point that we'll take, point number 211, then At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he said, وَلَا مَنْ يَدَّعِي شَيْئًا يُخَالِفُ الْكِتَابَ وَالسُّنَّةَ وَإِجْمَاعَ الْأُمَّةِ Nor anyone who claims anything which goes against the book, the sunnah, and the consensus, ijma' of the ummah. In other words, continuing from the previous point, وَلَا نُصَدِّقْ And we do not accept as true. I mean, we don't accept as true anyone. We don't believe anyone who claims anything which goes against the book, the sunnah, and the consensus ijma' of the ummah. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizullah, he said in explanation, meaning we do not believe anyone who contradicts the book or the sunnah or the ijma', the consensus. Because these are the proofs which are depended upon. And whatever contradicts them is batil, false and futile. Whether it be sayings, or actions, or beliefs. Walhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification on what we had? With regard to there's just a side point there. The narration which Al-Bukhari brings in a disconnected report, I mean, he just says, Qatada said that the stars were created for three purposes, mentioned as an adornment for the sky, as missiles to strike the devils, and as signposts by which the people can find the way. Then Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar mentioned in Fath al-Bari that Abd ibn Humayd in his Musnad, he reports this with a connected chain of narration back to Qatada as a saying of Qatada only. I mean, not as a hadith. That's just the saying of the Tabi'i, Qatada. As for the second thing, the hadith, that four things in my ummah are from the affairs of Jahiliyyah, which the people will not leave, then the hadith in Sahih Muslim mentioned, first of all, al-fakhr bil-ahsab, boasting about noble descent, which is what you asked for the second one, yeah? That was the second one, boasting about having noble descent. In the hadith in Sahih Muslim, that's mentioned first. أربع في أمتي من أمور الجاهلية لا يتركونهن الفخر بالأحساب والطعن في الأنساب والنياحة على الميت والاستسقاء بالنجوم. There are four things in my ummah which are from the affairs of the days of ignorance. The people will not leave them. Boasting of being of noble descent, attacking other people's lineage. And niyaha, the point that we had in Riyad al-Salihin, wailing over the dead and seeking rain from the stars.
The four groups of people, the two types of Sahibs and the other two, are they all considered to be kafir, including the, you know, the Sahib?
And with regard to who is a kafir, the sahir that's a kafir, then for a long time ago we had in Kitab al-Tawheed, in the explanation of Fathul Majid, and the explanation of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan and Sheikh Al-Thimin, rahimahullah, then we had the point that the ruling of unbelief, it applies to the one who uses the devils. I mean, the one who submits to the devils, performs acts of shirk and the like to please the devils, then he is the sahir who's the kafir. As for performance of tricks to fool the people, to fool the eyes of the people, the second category here, then that doesn't carry that same ruling automatically. I mean, the one as well, as we had in Kitab al-Tawheed, that the ruling for the sahir, the ruling what is done with the sahir, is the sword. He's beheaded. And again, we had the point that that applies first and foremost, upon the ones who are dealing with the jinn, unless the ruler sees otherwise. He sees it should be applied to others. Wallahu a'lam. With regard to the Qur'an being written in the preserved tablet, then no doubt from the ayah in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, the Qur'an is written in the preserved tablet. Wallahu a'lam bi'an that. With regard to how the Qur'an came down, as we had earlier in the book, then, the fact that the Qur'an is written in the preserved tablet doesn't mean that it's correct to say that Jibreel took the Qur'an from the preserved tablet and passed it down. As Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentioned, this is not correct at all. Rather, Jibreel heard Allah speak, and then Jibreel conveyed the revelation to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he conveyed it to his ummah, to the companions, and they conveyed it to the generation after them. Najm. Astrologer. From Najm, yeah? It's from the same root, yeah? Najm. One who looks into the Najm, yeah? One who looks into Najm, yeah? The stars. Tanjim. Najjama. To look into the stars. Believe they have an effect on the earth and like astrologer. What was the difference between, you know, Islamically between the astronomer and the astrologer? Is the astronomer is the person who just looks through his telescopes and whatever, looks at the planets and stars and, you know, whatever he does, he looks at them and as for the astrologer, but he does something more than that. He looks at them, claiming that they have an effect, using them to foretell events upon the earth, you know, and the like. That's the astrologer. the Munajjim, person of Tanjim. He claims the stars have an effect upon the earth, so therefore he looks at the where the stars are, where the constellations are, which stars are rising. As we know, they ask a certain person, what time were you born at? And then works out from that which star was in which place at that time, and then makes some sort of predictions about his life. No doubt, claiming ilm al-ghayb, one who claims ilm al-ghayb, knowledge of the hidden and the unseen, is a taghut. Is a taghut who we've been commanded to reject and disbelieve. And no doubt, this is kufr. Claiming knowledge of the hidden, as one of the things that breaks a person's Islam, is claiming knowledge of the hidden and the unseen, claiming to have that knowledge. No doubt. No. Allah, ask the people of knowledge. Yeah. Obviously, if somebody requests from a sahir to go and put magic upon someone, then the very least that you can say about the person is an evildoer, somebody wishing to harm the Muslims, wishing to cause harm to another Muslim and the like, that's an evildoer. And beyond, as for the ruling of the person who does that, of course you need to ask the people of knowledge. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.